Spirit through Paul to the church at Colossae, starting with verse number 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. If you then be risen with Christ, look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 6. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. And hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If you've been risen with Christ spiritually, you've been brought back from the dead. We're dead in trespasses and sin when we repented and by faith trusted Jesus. He made us alive once again, or raised us from that dead state that we were in. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. In other words, our heart's not to be set on everything in this life and be so busy in this life that we neglect our life for the Lord and that new life that he has given us for us to live, set an example, and for him to work through to reach others that need to be raised from the dead. You're dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now ye also put off. Lord, take this filthy language from me. Take this urge to take drugs or to booze or whatever, that whatever sin that it might be. The Lord's not going to take those away. He tells us for us to put them away. He's not in the business of doing that. That's our business. That's what we need to take care of. Now you also put off all these: anger. Is anger a sin? Bible says anger and sin not, if I'm not mistaken. So it's the results of that anger is where the sin comes in. Wrath, put this off. Malice, put this off. Blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Boy, is that a wondrous thing today. Everybody, including many of God's people, think there's nothing wrong with a filthy mouth or with a mouth that reproaches the Lord and defiles him. But brother, we're going to answer, the Bible says, for every idle word. Every idle word. And remember, Lord, take this away from me. No, put it off, he says. Put it off. You put forth the effort, he'll give you the grace and he'll help you. But he's not going to just zap it away from you. He's not a magical individual. He says, lie not one to another. Need to be careful. Telling a lie today, nothing's thought of it. Matter of fact, we had a district attorney here. He went to the people in charge of the council, and he told them that that they needed to pass an ordinance to where he could lie to convict somebody. You convict somebody with a lie, you're going to convict a lot of innocent people who are not guilty. And if you got a lie to convict somebody, where's the truth? See, there isn't any more. There is none. There's no truth out there. As a matter of fact, you watch and everything that the economy has going, everything that they sell, if you watch how they present it, they'll present it in a way to where it comes out being false or misrepresenting. Doesn't matter, as long as that almighty dollar comes, as long as we have the wherewith to feed the lusts of our flesh. And brother, we're to put these things off. We're not to be as the world. He's raised us from that and give us a new life. We are not to go back to that old life. Why? Because he says, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. He's a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. And have put on the new man. In other words, we're not to yield to that old nature of ours. We're to combat that old nature. And we're to live after that new nature of ours. That should be first and foremost in our life. And listen, it says, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. It's renewed, this new man, in knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of the word of God. Knowledge of God. Knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Knowledge and understanding which come by the word. That's why we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rather dividing the word of truth. That's why constantly throughout the scripture we find that we are to study and learn, we're to hide it in our heart that we not sin against God. Why? Because in our flesh we can do nothing that's good. Our flesh is weak. The spirit's willing, but our flesh is weak, the Bible says. And so we need to understand how weak that flesh really is and understand that without the help of the Holy Spirit, we're going to live in the flesh. We're going to live after that old man, that old nature. But with the help of the Spirit, when we put forth the effort, then we can overcome any of these things that come into our lives. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. You know, we're all one in Christ. We're all one in Christ. That's what the Spirit through Paul set forth in his epistles. We're all one in Christ. Doesn't matter if you're handsome. It doesn't matter if you're ugly. It doesn't matter if you're white or black or green or purple or whatever color that it might be. It doesn't matter. It's there for all. For all who will receive it. There is no difference. God makes no difference, and we should not make a difference either. But our day in which we live, we must take this position, and that is, it's not all inclusive of man's acts and the things that he does that perverts the order of God in nature and perverts the marriage and perverts what God had created an individual as, and man trying to change God's order and what he's established and what he's done. That's perversion. That's not inclusive. You see, the world and the flesh wants to make these abominable things that men get involved in acceptable in the sight of God. It's not acceptable in his sight. You just read Romans chapter 1 and see what he has to say about these things. So we're to put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You need to forgive one another. But there's another condition there. If they repent, then you're to forgive a brother. If they repent, you're to forgive. And we judge not with respect of persons, but we judge according to the facts, according to the truth. And that's what our legal system was set up for, is to judge according to truth. But now man's perverted it, and so people got a lie in order to convict somebody. Listen, the order used to be you find out the truth about the matter and take the guilty person. But now just anything goes, because we're all inclusive. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness, offer a little humility in this old world. Humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Why? Because we want to have harmony in the church. We don't want to have division that hinders the working of the Holy Spirit. It hinders the work going forth and accomplishing that which God has sent it to accomplish. We're to strive for these things as a church and as members individually of a New Testament church. And above all these things, put on charity or love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. There's no peace when you're guilty of these things that we've just gone through and considered. None in your heart, because the Spirit of God is there convicting. The Spirit of God is there compelling. The Spirit of God is there resisting and drawing you away from giving in to that old nature that you have. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body. There's only one body that he's talking to here, and that's the local church at Colossae. But that local church at Colossae descended from the church that Jesus built. There's only one kind of church. He didn't build a dozen different kinds or thousands of different kinds of churches or religions. God is not behind that. But he only established one kind of church. And he promised the gates of hell would not prevail against it. There's only one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The church is admonished here in Colossae 2. Dwell richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We're to use the psalms. How do we know the division of the Old Testament? Luke 24:44, he said, these are the things I spake unto you which while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled concerning me in the law and the prophets and in the psalms. I believe in the psalms concerning me. So here we have the admonition for a church is to use the psalms. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now that admonition there is important because aside from him, we can do nothing that is good. Understand, the prophet made it clear, our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. Man has no righteousness in him aside from the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ when he's born again by the grace of God. Now that's the facts of the matter. And the facts of the matter is that Jesus Christ did everything necessary to save every individual that ever lived on this earth, ever will live, or is living now. And man needs to do nothing in order to receive that. But he must receive it because he offers it as a gift. And if it's a gift, you don't have to earn it. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to do anything for it. You just got to accept it. You got to receive it. And you got to do it with the heart. Trouble is, too many people doing it up here instead of down here. Whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's by his authority, by the way, and it's placed in his scriptural New Testament churches. Giving thanks to God and to the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. I read, I believe, in the book of Peter over there where he said that a wife should be a keeper at home. That's a strange doctrine today, but that's God's order. That's God's order. And it's his order that women submit to their husbands. And ladies, if you're going to be really happy, you will voluntarily and willingly submit to your husband. And husbands, you be the kind of man that one can respect and that she can willingly submit to you. That doesn't give man a whip to crack it and make the woman submit. She must do it willingly. That's God's order. And a man is to create an environment and within himself and around himself so that a woman can respect and willingly do what God would have her to do in his established order. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. It's not the preacher's idea, not the church's idea. Mankind don't have a clue. It's God's. That's where we find this order. That's why we're to follow this order. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. What did we just say? You got to set an example. You got to be the kind of man that a woman can respect, a woman can look up to, and that she can willingly submit to God's will in her life. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Now, I had quite a few whippings when I was a young person, and I didn't appreciate any of them until after they were all over. Then it eased my conscience, and I appreciated it. But every one of them was for disobeying and not submitting as the Lord's will is. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger. There's that example for fathers to set, lest they be discouraged. Dad, if you don't set the right example, your kids will be discouraged. You better not only discipline them, but you'd better love them and show love to them when they don't need to be disciplined. Provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters. If you work for somebody, they're paying you for your time, and you're to spend your time working on their behalf. That's lost in our world today also. Workers think they ought to come to work, get a paycheck, and go home. It's ridiculous. Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Yeah. Now there's, I don't know, let's see. There's in another place, I think Paul kind of covered how that the masters were to treat their servants. And it may be different than some think today. What do you say to do it? In singleness of heart, fearing God. Not fearing man. Not trying to please man, but pleasing God. And I use all of my time that my employer expects of me for his benefit and on his behalf, not because of him, not because of the job, not because of money, but because God expects me to do that. And he's not only expects, he commanded us to do that. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Now there it sets it down in order exactly. Knowing that the Lord, that of the Lord, you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he had done, and there is no respect of persons. The Lord is not a respecter of persons. He expects all to meet his conditions. And if they don't, he'll mete out to each one of them justly what they deserved of his children with chastisement. Taking this message that Paul preached to the church at Colossae, church, how do we stand? How are we doing? You Baptists, you'd expect too much out of people. We don't expect any more than to obey this. And when you're obeying this, you're obeying God. Yeah. And whatever you think about this, brother, you're going to answer for it unto it one of these days. Because we're all going to stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. If you're here tonight, the Lord demands all men everywhere to repent and to trust Jesus as their Savior in order for them to be resurrected from the dead state that they're in, from that separation of God that sin has separated between them and their God. He expects to take the way that God made to bridge that separation and make a way to him. The way that you come to him is to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. believe that he's God who came in the flesh, that he died because of your sin. He was buried, rose again for your justification. That is the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. If you believe with your heart, he'll save your soul. If you'll fully trust him and surrender, he'll save your soul at that point. Talking about Brother Dixon, I remember the old building over there. When he come up to the altar, and I went up and showed him in the Bible how to be saved. And he prayed, and he didn't do any good. And so I asked him, do you really believe what God says? And he said, yes. And when he said yes, he gave up, and the Lord saved him. Yeah. Second time I preached over here, way back years ago, in the olden days, there was a young man, got under conviction, sitting in the pew there about where Brother Belize is. He started bawling, and he was in all kinds of turmoil. He was under conviction. And he come forward and he said, I'm lost. And he'd already made a profession. He was a member of the church, was baptized. So I'm not saved. And so when I went to the altar with him, he prayed. I showed him in the Bible, some more Bible. Then he prayed again. I was got to thinking, this young man ain't ever going to get saved. And then finally I raised him up and I says, how do you feel about Jesus? He said, oh, I love that. And when he did, he wasn't crying anymore. He wasn't disturbed anymore. Peace came right then and there. Wasn't any big thing from me. It was from him. When he was willing to let go and let God use that power to change him. When a lost person will do that, he'll save their soul. He'll raise them to life. Let's stand. What shall we sing, brother?
125.
As we sing this hymn, the Spirit of God convicted your heart. Why don't you come? As we're singing this, I hope you mean it with all your heart. That you're going to let the Lord have his way in your life. That you're going to submit to the order that he has established. You're going to yield to his word. And this